Hello. Good morning. First things first. Yes, I am wearing bare feet. Because today was not the day to wear running shoes or full closed-toes shoes and socks. And And I can't tell you how ironic the message is given today's circumstances here. And I just have to laugh because this message is actually a bit modified from a message that I preached a couple weeks ago at one of our sister churches over in Surrey. For the love of all things, I can't get into my sermon notes. Come on, you can do it. Okay, here we go. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching over in Surrey at one of our sister churches called Numa. And I opened the sermon saying their pastor had reached out a couple months ago if I would speak there. And they were going to be doing a summer series on the Psalms of Ascent. And so she said, when you come, we'll be on Psalm 131. And I knew immediately what Psalm 131 was because I, about 15 years ago, had a real encounter with God in this verse, set of verses. It's a very short psalm. And so I said, I jokingly said at the beginning of the service, I teach and I've learned the ratio, or I've heard the ratio, that you prepare 4 hours for every 1 hour of teaching. So I've had 15 years to prepare this message because it has been working in me and working on me to this very morning, because literally we get here, we're like, I think something's wrong with the AC, but you're not sure because how many get into a warm car and you turn your AC on and it kind of feels like it's blowing warm air and then it starts blowing cold air? So we just didn't know when the point was to believe, nah, this ain't blowing cold air. It is only getting hotter in here. And so I quickly had to go in tears before the Lord and say, God, give me a break, or I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And there's just this like sweet moment of joy realizing you really got to practice what you preach. So here we go. We're talking about being content, which means I'm just going to do a definition through the main point today is that the Bible has a lot to say about contentment, and you can find that in our notes. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture that just has a lot to say about contentment, but I want to define it at the beginning. So if we look biblically at the understanding of contentment, it means to be fully with, that there is a sense of satisfaction, peace, a state of being fully with. One of the biblical definitions includes this idea that there is a place independent of external circumstances. There's an independence in my being and my connection with God that is independent of external circumstances, where I will have a place of sufficiency in self and relationship with God to not need to feel, to not need to know, to not need to receive this extravagant display of God's presence, to trust Him. For me, the journey began with this 15 years ago, this state of being where I had a lot of anxiety within. I was a young leader, figuring things out. And it felt like everything was big. Every conflict, every situation, every sermon series, every conference, it just felt big. Every schedule, every rhythm of life, every working coworker relationship, all of these things. And I noticed in my journaling and in my prayer time that I was always trying to get there. So it was like, okay, after I get this conflict figured out, after this season is over, after this Sunday is done, then I will be at rest, or then I will be content. And I realized it in many ways. If I lose 15 pounds, if I do all of these things, and it can look different for all kinds of people, I would hear it. Well, if I get out of debt, Well, if there's more peace in my marriage, when my kids go to school, when my kids graduate school, when my kids move out of home, there's this perpetual sense of when I get there, then I can have peace. And the Lord started speaking to me saying, Jen, you're never going to get there. And that's when I encountered this psalm. The main point of today is that the Bible has a lot to say about being content. And one of the foundational concepts that we're going to work off of today is from Psalm 131, which is a psalm of ascent. This group of psalms was part of their rhythm of going to the feast days. It was their songbook for their road trips. And they would sing these psalms. And in this psalm is a real powerful, short, little verses on being content and having hope in God. And on that note, I forgot that I was supposed to say there is water in the lobby for you. If you are warm or want some water, there is fresh water in the lobby for you. So Psalm 131, a psalm of David, it reads this: my heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. We're going to return to this psalm in a moment, but I just want to look at a few of the key players of Scripture and how they bring us to a point of considering contentment. Luke chapter 12, verses 27 through 31, Jesus says this to the disciples and group that was there hearing him teach. He says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, Jesus says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. And you might hear that and sit there and think, well, I'm not. And maybe you have been food insecure at some point in life. Maybe you are now. But for a lot of us, what we're going to eat or drink isn't our biggest concern. But for that audience, it was probably one of their biggest concerns because they didn't live on the Conti farm. They didn't have Save-On. There wasn't a market that was guaranteed to have something, even if it's the leftovers from COVID binging. They didn't have sources like that that weren't weather-dependent, community-dependent. So Jesus says to them, these are some of the biggest things his audience is going to concern themselves about. And he says, and do not set your heart on matters of eat and drink. So that might not be your big concern today, but what consumes your concern? What are you setting your heart on? What is your heart going, oh, it sure is hot in here. There's going to be 100 people, hundreds of people. That was my heart this morning. My heart was on, oh, they're going to hate us. I'm like, they're going to sweat with us, and then we're all going to go home or downstairs. Can I just do a quick plug for children's ministry? It's really cool down there right now. So if you've ever considered serving in children's ministry, AC downstairs is where it's at. But what consumes you? Is your heart worried about finances or health or a relationship? A child, a relative, a parent? What consumes and concerns your heart today? And what would Jesus be saying? Do not set your heart on these matters. Consider the lilies. Consider the wildflowers. Your Father knows your needs. Moving through scripture, Paul, one of the main authors of the New Testament, he writes in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, but godliness, a life lived in the purposes and path of God, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Again, food and clothing, those things. Godliness with this state, this place, this hope of a connection with God and with myself that is independent of the circumstances of life is great gain for us. There's 3 points this morning, and I'm going to work backwards through Psalm 131 and just highlight some things. And we're aiming to run a little bit of a shorter service because we recognize it's warm in here. The first point this morning is that contentment begins in the posture of the mind. So back to Psalm 131, verse 3, I'm starting at the end. It says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Anytime we read Israel in the Old Testament and in the Psalms and that kind of thing, we just pop our name right in. Jen, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Claudia, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I can't see people clearly past Claudia, so I'll stop there. Put your hope in the Lord. Say it to yourself. Say your name and put your name in there. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Contentment begins in the posture of our mind. It's not a have hope, it's a put your hope. Put your hope. A few of the Psalms earlier in the Psalms of Ascent is Psalm 121, one of my favorites because I love mountains. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And it's a posture of I lift my eyes up. And that's what this point is about. Put your hope in the Lord. Lift your eyes. The posture of your mind comes from concerning, consumed thoughts about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what my financial situation is going to work out, how this relationship's going to fix itself. This coworker that's driving me absolutely bananas. You know who you are. Just kidding. Now they're all wondering who they are. While also knowing who it is. Just kidding. never needed electrolytes before while preaching, but I am lightheaded. So here we go. Put your hope. Elsewhere in scripture, Paul again encourages us to put our minds, set our minds. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Elsewhere, he talks about taking your thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. We begin this contentment journey by posturing our mind. What does that look like? It looks like paying attention to what's going on in our minds. For this morning, it was quite literally, Jen, you have to calm down. There's nothing you can do but make the most of what we have. And people jumped and helped. And Megan ran around and made sure every AC thing up here was as cold as it could be, and the fans we could find were placed where they could. We got ice, we got water, and I just had to take a minute and look at what was racing around in my head and consider, God, you are still worthy, like Pastor Rose encouraged us this morning. It's funny because as she was saying that, I listened on my way here. I turned on my car and it was just the song, You're Worthy of It All. And I had no idea what was coming, but I was singing my heart out from the point I left my house. It begins with the posture of our mind. And the second point I'm making today is that contentment relies on connection with God. So it begins with the posture of my mind, but it relies on connection with God. In verse 2 of Psalm 131, it says this, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." What is the focus on this weaned child? A weaned child doesn't need its mother for sustenance, for survival. It doesn't need the food from the mother's being. I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. It's the idea of coming close to the presence of comfort and nurture and care, not out of need. When we often when we come to faith, there's this stage and age where we need to feel something. There needs to be this sense of like something has taken place for me to recognize God is at work or God is present. But the process of relationship is getting to this point of trust where I can calm myself and quiet myself and realize God is still God. God is faithful. God has points of revelation for each of us in his presence. He has peace in the financial storms. He has his presence in the midst of health storms. We have very real grief storms going on in my family right now. And God's presence is there in the midst. It's not that we ignore or deny that those things are going on. It's that there is a reality to the presence of God, and I can calm myself and quiet myself and just come alongside God's presence in a posture of contentment. It's a process. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul writes, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through him who gives me strength." This is the learning process. I can do this through him who gives me strength. Now, there are absolutes in learning. 1 + 1 = 2. Regardless of what any of the weird new math is saying, there are some absolutes in the learning process. One I keep testing is this idea that steep hills are easy to get down. Can I just say, going up hiking is not the hard part. Y'all might think it is, and sometimes it is, but the more challenging part of hiking is coming down the steep hills. Thank you, Jonathan. You are my favorite coworker. And just a couple of weeks ago on one of our Connect Event hikes, I was a little bit proud and a little bit haughty, and I said to my two hiking companions, "Listen, of the three of us, who's fallen down? Not me. Who slid down the mountain? Not shortly thereafter." There are absolutes in learning, but that's not what Paul is saying in this writing. It sounds like he's saying, "I have learned it. I got it." But when we look into the language of this learning in the Greek, it's this ongoing thing, which is why I can stand here and say 15 years ago, God started speaking to me about this passage. 15 years later, he's still speaking to me about this passage. It's not that I'm dumb. It's that this is quite the process. It's quite the process of choice and choosing and realizing I can do all this through him who gives me strength, whether in plenty or in want, whether in sickness or in health, whether I'm hungry or well-fed. That is the learning process that we have, that we grow and develop in. How is your connection with God? Because contentment relies on connection with God. Contentment requires thoughtful self-awareness, which is the third point this morning. In Psalm 131, verse 1 says, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." Now, when we hear that or read that, we might think he's making a statement about moral character. Like David's just like almost proudly saying, "I am not proud." Because it's kind of weird to walk around and say to somebody, "Jonathan, I'm not proud. I'm not haughty." But it's not that. It's a thoughtful appreciation of knowing who he is. And this third point is that contentment requires thoughtful self-awareness. And so the author is not debasing himself. He's not making himself like nothing. He's not low self-esteem. He's appreciating, "God, you are God in heaven. Here am I on earth. I'm not even going to assume to understand how to fix this, how to get out of this. I'm not going to assume to understand these things. I'm not too proud. I'm not too haughty. I'm setting my heart on you." And when there's these seasons of the external circumstances are loud, are present, are sweat-inducing, when the external circumstances are growling, when they're weighty, when they're causing lack of sleep, when they're causing late hours of just mind racing, it's this appreciation where I am not proud. I am not haughty. I do not concern myself with trying to figure this out. I quiet myself. I begin this posture in this, "Okay, God, you are God in heaven." Like the writer of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 5:2, "God, you are God in heaven. Here am I in earth. Let my words be few." You are God in heaven. I did this Bible study of the Psalms of Ascent. It was a Bible study by Beth Moore. I've done it a few times. And at the beginning of the Bible study, she encourages everybody to take a posture when they do their homework of literally like face down on the floor, posture of prayer. She's like, begin with a couple minutes because it feels like a long time and then just kind of see where it takes you. So I did. I hadn't really ever practiced that posture before. I mean, I've knelt on my knees, but it was like flat out on your face before God, just spending time there. And it became my first posture of prayer when life is feeling overwhelming. Because I cannot describe the sense of humility that happens, the vulnerability that happens when I am on my face. It became the biggest thing when stuff was so heavy, I do not have the time to talk to you about the stories that I could share. And I just realized that this posture became, "God, you are God in heaven," and just flat out on my face before God. You don't have to, but there's something about the posture of bowing down and recognizing our humility before God. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Jen, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
encourage you one practice to do today is take those 3 points home and write your own prayer. This morning I was sitting down in the air-conditioned prayer room the air-conditioned boardroom downstairs, and I just wrote, God, my heart won't fret the heat and decisions of this morning. I will wrestle my mind and emotions to focus on what matters. I calm myself and choose to breathe deeply of your presence and your goodness. You are worthy of my trust. You are faithful. Jen, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. What does your psalm of contentment look like? Worship team, I invite you to come back. What does your song of contentment, what are you lifting your eyes from? What are your independent, your external circumstances that you need to just draw aside in independence and calm yourself and quiet yourself with the Lord today? Where are you at in your connection with God? Is that something that needs renewal, revitalization? As we spend this time in worship, I encourage you to look to God as we're going to be singing and just posture your heart to receive and to hear from Him. God, I thank you that you are good, that we don't arrive at a place of contentment. We don't arrive at a place of understanding all of these things and then we're good. We're in this journey. We're in this process. We're in this growth. And I believe this morning we're in this invitation that you're saying, I'm preparing this table. Would you come? Would you come and draw near and quiet yourself? Would you calm your heart? Would you acknowledge the external circumstances that are going on in your world and choose to posture your mind towards my presence? God, we look to you. We turn our hearts to you. We turn our affections. We turn our thinking. We turn our feeling towards you. God, would you meet us as we worship? In your name, Jesus. Amen.